A lot of it, you know, as far as with amino acid balancing and trying to get a handle of, so we're transitioning obviously from CNCPS, we're transitioning over to balancing our amino acids to megacals of ME. And, you know, I won't say there's confusion there. I think it's pretty well laid out, but what did those look like? And do I get a return on my investment if I'm going to that optimum level that, Cornell would recommend? Do I get that benefit? And another thing is we typically look at putting methionine into our diets and increasing milk protein. But there's more to amino acid balancing, there's more to methionine than that milk protein response.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Adiseo USA, producers of SmartAmine M and MilkPay.com. Mycotoxins can threaten feed and cattle performance. DSM Firmenich offers a portfolio of solutions to help mitigate the impact of mycotoxins in your feed. Asepsis, an ounce of prevention. With early detection in health, reproduction, and feeding, Smax Tech future-proofs your dairy operation. Excellent, a novel product for the management of hypocalcemia. It's uncomplicated excellence. Volac, unlocking ruminant potential through nutritional solutions for a sustainable future. Priority IAC, the only company bringing the fields of microbiology and nutrition together.
All right. Well, welcome everybody to this episode of the Dairy Podcast Show. I'm your host for today, Gail Carpenter, the State Dairy Specialist with Iowa State University. I'm joined today by Chad Robbins from Adiseo. Chad is a technical sales manager with Adiseo. He has a bachelor's in biology and a master's in animal science. He's worked for 9 years as a feed supplier, 18 years as a dairy nutritionist, and he's been with Adiseo for about 9 months, so coming up pretty soon on your 1 year mark. So Chad, before we jump in and get started, do you want to talk to me a little bit about how you got to your current role and what your current job entails?
I guess to step back and see, give you an idea, getting into agriculture, I know that that's an interest to you, to some people. Okay, how did you get in the role that you're in? I didn't grow up on a dairy farm. I didn't grow up on a farm at all. Actually, I'm a city kid, but my aunt and uncle had a dairy farm. And I was drawn to that from an early age and spent every waking moment that I could down there. And I remember vividly they had a herringbone parlor. And when I was about 3 or 4 years old, I would get in that last stall and go into the backside of it and help put milkers on. I remember my aunt was always scared that I was going to get kicked in the head. But anyway, so that's
yeah, you're making me nervous just telling me that story.
Yeah, right. So, but that's kind of where I got my start in dairy. And then, you know, as I got older and able to work a little bit more, I would go down in the summers and work there. So that's where I get my passion for agriculture and dairy. Bachelor's in biology and then an animal science degree from the University of Tennessee with a master's there. So that's kind of where my start was. And then coming out of graduate school, I worked for a supplier for 9 years. And my passion was always wanted to do to be on the farm doing consulting work. So an opportunity rose again after 9 years, and that's where I began feeding cows for the last 18 years. And then the opportunity with Adiseo popped up. And so just wanted to a little bit of change in focus, a little bit of change, but still be able to do that consulting and nutrition support. So, and here we are today.
Yeah. So where are you located right now then?
So right now I live just outside of Toledo, Ohio. Yeah. And so my primary area that I would cover would be Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. And then I do have some of the southeastern states as well. But more or less, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan is kind of my main territory.
Gotcha. How did you end up in the tri-state area from Tennessee?
Well, I grew up in Indiana. My wife is actually from this area. We met in undergraduate school. And it's kind of a funny story. I told her that, get out of your mind, when I get out of school, we're probably going to be in Wisconsin or New York or somewhere along those lines. And lo and behold, the job I took, they said, we want you somewhere between Fort Wayne and Toledo. And she's like, sweet, I get to live in Toledo.
Oh, so we've been... perfect.
So yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's great when those things work out. It doesn't always, so.
It doesn't always, but yes.
Yeah.
Adiseo, a global leader in nutritional solutions and the provider of Smartamine M, the best in-class rumen-protected methionine product for dairy producers who want to optimize milk production, capture more value from their components, and maintain the lifetime performance of their herds. For more product information and to calculate your return on investment when you balance your feed with amino acids, go to milkpay.com.
So we were chatting a little bit before we got started on this call about you're predominantly now, you're not feeding cows directly as much as you were, but you still get to work quite a bit with nutritionists and helping nutritionists out in the field. So what are the questions you've been getting in your role? What are nutritionists curious about? What questions are they asking you?
A lot of it, you know, as far as with amino acid balancing and trying to get a handle of, so we're transitioning obviously from CNCPS, we're transitioning over to balancing our amino acids to megacals of ME. And, you know, I won't say there's confusion there. I think it's pretty well laid out. But what did those look like? And do I get a return on my investment if I'm going to that optimum level that Cornell would recommend? Is there do I get that benefit? And another thing is, we typically look at putting methionine into our diets and increasing milk protein. But there's more to amino acid balancing. There's more to methionine than that milk protein response. And so that's been a topic of discussion and education from our prior at Adiseo to try to elucidate and to share the data that says, yes, we do expect a protein response, and that's where we're going to get our ultimate, if you want to say, income over feed costs or our return on that investment. But there's so many other peripheral things that go along biologically that methionine is important in those functions. Methyl donation would be one that I would pop up real quick.
Yeah, so you can actually see a milk fat response with amino acid balancing too, correct?
That is correct. And if you look at the data and look at all the data together and analyzing that, you will see that more generally we get more of a milk fat response than we do a protein response, which is kind of surprising to a lot of people.
My basic theory is that a lot of that comes back to just a healthier, more well-balanced rumen. And the methyl donation, I think, obviously plays a role in the milk fat response as well. Do you have any theories about where that milk fat's coming from?
Well, if you look at the research that has been done on methionine at the University of Wisconsin and looking at mTOR, and methionine plays a role in upregulating that mTOR, and I think that's where we get some milk fat response as well.
I always thought mTOR was the coolest pathway. It just sounds, I don't know, it sounds like a superhero or something.
I'm very vague in how all of it works, but it's pretty cool to say, you know, we upregulate mTOR, you know.
Yep. Mammalian target of rapamycin, is that right?
Yes, I believe so. Yes.
Yep. So you also, we were chatting a little bit beforehand beyond amino acid balancing, and I think it's, you know, the rumen's super complicated, the cow is very complicated, And amino acids are not necessarily, how do I want to say, they're not necessarily you're going to flip a switch for you, right?
Correct.
It's not that I wasn't amino acid balancing and now I am, and now I'm making 7.5 pounds of components or whatever, right? So,
correct.
So what else goes into making a ration effective when it comes to balancing amino acids? Yeah.
When you look at the total things or everything that has to happen for to hit that 7.5, to hit that 8 pounds of components, there's a lot that goes into that. And as my time on farm nutrition, one thing that a lot of people we know but we don't talk, we talk about nutrition, but the management part of that is a big key. You look at those farms that are hitting 8.5 pounds, if there's out there, I know there's some that are 8, but they get the little details on management right. So that's where it really starts there, is those management those management decisions to really take care of my cow. Do I have everything right as far as her comfort? Is she maximizing her laying time? Is she maximizing her feed time? Is there feed there that she can eat anytime she wants? So looking at those details and paying attention to those small details is really the foundation of hitting those high components and getting that milk production. From there, I think that the base of all of our rations are forage. So that forage quality and maximizing that forage quality is key and essential to, again, hitting those higher components. So, you know, you look at corn silage. Obviously, where we live, corn silage is king. So that's the major part of that. How are we doing as far as maturity? Are we getting that corn silage in at the right maturity? Are we taking care of it when we get it in out of the field? Are we packing? Are we taking, you know, so all those management, again, all those management decisions that we need to make to have a high quality forage coming out of the field and keeping a high quality forage throughout the year. You know, and then you look at haylage. What are we taking care of that? Are we harvesting that when we need to harvest, or are we putting other priorities in front of that and say, well, we'll get to it in a few days, rather than saying, okay, we need to do it now and maintain our high forage quality. So those would be the in my opinion, the big keys of high production, high milk components, or high milk components on that. And then we get into obviously looking at the issues of amino acid balancing. So there's a lot of things we have to do right and get right before we can come in and say, okay, let's amino acid balance this diet and expect that we're going to see what the research shows us is very positive and very consistent.
Yeah, I think it's really easy to think that there's one simple fix that's going to make everything better, right? And it's
right.
Exactly right. Like you said, everything's a system, right? So it has to be, you have to get all of the things right to be able to really achieve what we need to achieve. And if you're not hitting, you know, your targets, a lot of times it's not one simple like, oh, I can just go in and push up feed more often or amino acid balance or whatever it is, right? It's making sure everything kind of works together.
Exactly. And then you get in, you know, you'd mentioned the rumen and how fascinating it is that everything that has to go on and all the synchronicity to get things proper and right, and that you get your maximum fiber digestion. You know, you're looking at, okay, do I have enough rumen ammonia? Where is my RDP? And all of those marrying my starch degradation to and having enough ammonia there so I can get maximum starch maximum starch degradation in that rumen. So there's a lot of, you want to say, symphony that has to take place, and we're the conductor to make that happen. And again, we can look at that on a ration balancing system. We can look at that, you know, through our herd records data and that, but it really comes down to, again, getting out and looking at those cows. What are the cows telling you? You know, looking at the ruminations, looking at, okay, where is that? What's that manure consistency look like? Doing some manure scoring, taking a few manure samples and sending in, are we getting the right proper starch digestion that we need? So there's a lot of things that go into putting together a ration or a diet that will make these cows really hum like we know they can. And again, the management has to be there for that to happen. So in my opinion, you know, a nutritionist is really kind of like an orchestra, you know, the orchestrator of the symphony, that, you know, all these pieces have to be in place, and you're the one that's doing all of that and making sure everything's right. So those producers do hit those targets that they have set for you and be profitable and be there for the future.
I love that visual of an orchestra conductor. I think that's really cool. Yeah. So is there a difference? I guess, how do I want to say this? If you have a herd that's got everything dialed in, they're hitting that 7.5-8 pounds of components, is there additional benefit to amino acid balancing at that point? What can a herd that's already doing everything well expect in terms of income over feed costs from amino acid balancing?
I would guess that if they're there, they're probably doing some type of amino acid balancing or including some type of rumen-protected methionine and lysine in those diets.
Okay. Yep.
Don't know for sure. There may be some out there that are doing it without, but I think, you know, to get to those levels, you're really going to have some type of rumen-protected methionine and lysine in those diets.
I do get the, what is it, milk pay? Is that
what
you guys call it? Yes, I get the milk pay texts every week. I get them for the Mideast marketing area still. But yeah, these are every week or every month?
It comes every month. So that's the federal milk marketing order, yes.
I just got one yesterday. So, and I see that your email's on it. I hadn't paid that much attention to the text that came before it. Yep. but yeah, I always appreciate those coming through. And it gives a good snapshot of what's going on with milk pricing and what's going on with some of that additional economic value from amino acid balancing. Is that
yeah?
I think that's a really neat tool, and it's not one of the I delete a whole bunch of newsletters that I subscribe to every week, but that's
yes, what... correct. me as well. You know, you have the intention of, hey, I'm going to read these, and if it comes to my email, it'll prompt me to do it. And you say, I don't have time today.
Yep.
So, but back to the milk pay, that's really been adopted pretty well across the industry for nutritionists, and not only so it was developed to help you make a decision whether amino acid balancing is right for you or in that and what that payoff is. But many people that I've talked to use it for any diet change or management decision they make. Okay, so if I make this diet change and I'm expecting a pound of milk and a tenth of a pound of butterfat, they can use that irrespective of whether amino acid balancing and show their producer that cost benefit and that return on investment. So yes, it was developed for amino acid balancing, but I'm sure it's used more than just for amino acid balancing. So it's a nice tool that we've developed that can be used irrespective of whether you are trying to justify something for amino acid balancing or not.
And is there anywhere you want to let our listeners know where they could sign up for that?
It's pretty easy. I think you just download the app, and it's milkpay.com. You can go to milkpay.com, and it's there as well. So we have a web version and also on an app, and then basically you put in your email address, and away you go.
Oh, I'm going to have to check out the app. I just get the text messages.
Oh, you don't have the MilkPay app. Okay.
Yeah, I should get that app, apparently.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Good to know. I'm learning something new all the time on these.
A sepsis. An ounce of prevention. Asepsis LLC is a Wisconsin-based animal wellness company focused on the development of state-of-the-art animal hygiene technologies. Our company's mission is to apply innovative hygiene solutions into animal agricultural and veterinary applications, improving the wellness of the animals with a focus on sustainability. We accomplish this through the continued enhancement of our chlorine dioxide-based technologies within a wide range of agricultural hygiene applications, from facility and animal hygiene to water treatment.
I guess one other question I want to get at a little bit before we kind of start wrapping up here is transition cows. And you know, we talk about the symphony of the rumen, and we talk about the symphony of making sure everything else is okay. Transition cows are such a big part of making sure that symphony is working correctly, right?
Yes.
How do amino acids work? Amino acid balancing work with transition cow diets? What are your recommendations for transition cow diets?
So again, you know, you look at that transition cow, we're setting her up particularly in that last 21 days of pregnancy, setting her up for a successful transition as she calves and to take off and produce well and produce lots of milk and lots of components. A lot of that goes into, again, if we look back at that pre-fresh cow and that post-fresh period, let's say 21 days pre to 35 days post, and you look at the data out there, methionine's benefit or effect is where we see the most positive effects by feeding methionine. So in that transition, we typically recommend that you feed 10 grams of the SmartAmine M and that. And then once you go to that pre-fresh or that post-fresh, we're going to bump that up to somewhere in that 15 gram range And again, looking at that cascade of what happens, and we talk about, you know, obviously she's in negative energy balance and fat mobilization, and there's a lot of with the methyl donation on that to keep that factory per se running well. There are another compounds out there, but methionine plays a significant role, not only with methyl donation, but also through that energy that we talked about it earlier with the mTOR and that. So we really see a very, very positive benefit through that transition period. I would say more so there than we would as we have data in those late lactation animals. Not to say that the late lactation animals don't benefit from amino acid balancing and methionine, but we really see it shine and pop in that transition period, particularly, again, 21 days pre-calving to 21 to 35 days post-calving.
I feel like we say that about a lot of things, yes. That it really shines with those transition cows. BMR corn, choline, you know, you're telling me spartamine, right? Like, yes, I feel like all of these things kind of in that transition period, if you have to pick the transition period.
Right. And then again, you want to set yourself up for success and no matter, you know, what you're doing there. And again, it goes back to the management. And those paying attention to details through that. Do we, you know, here we're looking at stocking density. Here we're looking at making sure they do have feed, making sure that feed is of high quality and it's fresh, you know, that they have plenty of access to water. I think a lot of times we nutritionists in general kind of forget about water, and it's a major portion of the diet, and it's a major, you know, a major portion of what goes into milk. So I think sometimes we fail to put as much emphasis on water, and water quality is what maybe we should sometimes.
Quality and access too, right? I know access is usually top of mind when it comes to our lactating cows. And I think it's great when you have water availability when they come out of the parlor, in addition to out in pens. But sometimes those transition cows or pre-fresh cows don't always have the same water access that our lactating cows do.
Yeah, walk on any dairy farm, right?
Mm-hmm. Do you have any data or idea about impact of methionine on reproductive performance?
We do have data on that. A lot of that is coming out of the University of Illinois, published data there. And anybody that's heard Phil Cardozo speak, he pushes it pretty hard. And again, in that transition period. So yeah, the data is out there. I think from what he has done and from what I've seen, going off my memory here, looking at embryo quality is a big factor in that, and increasing that embryo quality, and also looking at it as far as embryo quality and also survivability.
I have to think that, you know, if you're helping the cow with negative energy balance through the transition period, that has to help reproduction as well, too, right? Even if it's not a direct impact. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you look at that at ovulation that we would seminate, so 60 to 70 days after, you know, after so that 60 to 70 day voluntary waiting period, that follicle that is being expressed is really starting to maturate during that dry period and during that 21 day pre-fresh period. So I think, again, feeding methionine, making, you know, feeding that methionine there and the benefits that we show from that sets that cow up for success on that first breeding. And I think we have some data that shows that there is some positive effects on that.
Yeah. Well, it's all back to that symphony, right?
Yes.
And everything working together. And, you know, it's that high fertility cycle too. If you get the cows that are going to get back in calf, or the cows that had a good transition, and the cows that get back in calf are going to have less condition when they dry off and have a more successful transition again. It's a little bit of a positive feedback loop.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Before we get into our last three questions that all of our guests are asked, do you have any last thoughts or anywhere that people can look you up and find out more about Adiseo or what you're working on?
Yeah, like as I mentioned earlier, the best place to if you wanted to check out Adiseo is going to milkpay.com. that has a lot of the contact information of all the people. And so either our tech people or our salespeople in the nation, I believe there's a map there that shows where everybody's at and contact information for that. So that would be the best way to, like, say, if you're interested in Adiseo and getting hold of me or one of my colleagues, that's the best place to start to do that.
It's time for our famous three.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Feed solutions that surpass expectations. Learn more about the benefits of working with Schooler. Visit schooler.com/feed. That's schooler.com/feed. Our Yeast 40, ruminal and intestinal double modulation by ICC Animal Nutrition. Natural Biologics delivers cost-effective solutions to improve health and productivity, helping conquer the rumen health and immunity challenges your animals face. Diamond V, because animal health deserves a healthier approach. Your partner for extra animal performance, Berg & Schmidt Animal Nutrition. Trow Nutrition, North America. Everything we do is driven by passion and backed by science. Visit Schooler at World Ag Expo in February and discover an extensive portfolio of product options to fit the unique needs of your dairy operation. A trusted partner in feed solutions, you can count on the agility and expertise of Schooler to deliver high-quality feed ingredients when and where you need them. Find Schooler at World Ag Expo booths 6614 and 6615. Reliable and on-trend ingredients for feed rations that fit your needs. Learn more at schooler.com/feed. That's schooler.com/feed.
All right. And with that, we will go ahead and go into our three questions that we ask all of our guests. Our first one is, what is your favorite dairy-related book or resource?
Yeah, like many others, Journal of Dairy Science, but I also enjoy reading Hordes Dairyman and Progressive Dairy. You get a little bit more, if you want to say, distilled down, and you don't have to go through. I'm not a big materials and methods and statistical analysis kind of guy, so that the Progressive Dairy and Hordes kind of distills that stuff down for me, so I don't have to wade through that stuff sometimes.
What's your favorite non-dairy related book or resource?
Top of mind is the Bible. That's where it kind of guides me and my principles of life and business come from. But on a more lighter note, I enjoy history and nonfiction. So I've been reading a book, The Frontiersman by Alan Eckert. So that book is basically talking about the settling of the old Northwest Territory. So where I live, Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio, and that. So yeah, very, very, very interesting. And how the frontiersmen and the Indians and all that conflict, I really enjoy learning about that. So that's been a good read for me.
All right. So our last question is, what sets successful dairy professionals apart from those that are not successful?
I've been thinking about this a little bit, and persistence comes to mind to me. Being persistent, because we're all going to have failures. We're all going to hopefully learn from those failures. But being persistent through everything you do, I think, is because, again, we can all make mistakes and we learn from those. But sometimes people that aren't as successful maybe give up a little quick. So persistence is what sticks in my mind.
I like that. Grit.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that's a fantastic note to end on. So thank you so much for joining me today and for sitting down to chat a little bit. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and thank you everyone for listening on today's episode.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to come in and speak with you, Gail. It's been my pleasure.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.